This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
People think these athletes are like robots and they just, time to go to sleep, must work out tomorrow. It doesn't really work like that.
And Chris Ello.
It's an honor of my friend Matt Scraby. It's called Caribbean Jerk.
You are a Caribbean Jerk.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Gravy, you're very cool to continue to play that promo.
You're a Caribbean Jerk.
Yeah, that's the part he likes. Feels like he got the last word in. He didn't.
I did.
You didn't? It's Gwen and Chris, shortly after 4 o'clock. Welcome back to the program. All right, we haven't done Chris versus the Fans yet today, and probably aren't going to get to that until the 5 o'clock hour today.
So. We've decided...
5:45. Yes. We're moving it back to 5:45.
Yes.
All right. So that'll be good because we always do it at 3:45, and there's some people that only listen at 5:45. So they'll get a chance to do some Chris versus the Fans a little later. Right now, we want to introduce you to the newest member of the Gwen and Chris team here. She's going to come in and join us every now and again. Oh, you got a round of applause. I never got one of those. Can you please turn the young lady's microphone on, Scraby.
There it is.
There we go.
That's our guy, Scraby. And that is Skylar over there. Say hello to Skylar. She is a, first of all, I'm kind of surprised that I even wanted to include her because she went to the University of Alabama.
She did.
And
we know how you feel about the University of Alabama.
We know how I feel about Nick Saban and the University of Alabama. But she is a big college football fan. And I thought with college football season coming up, Skylar, be fun to have you in each week, and we're going to have you versus a contestant who's going to earn their way onto the show to compete against Skylar for prizes to try and outpick you in college football games.
Yep, and hopefully I'll go undefeated this season.
You hopefully aren't going to let anybody beat you the entire season.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Spoken like a true University of Alabama. Right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. She's from San Diego, and she what high school did you go to?
I went to Del Norte.
Del Norte, yeah. High.
Oh, wow.
I graduated in 2014.
I don't want to hear that. 2014. My goodness. But she had two choices for college. She wanted to go either to Alabama or to Central Florida. So I've kind of just figured that she only wanted to go to college where the football team never loses a game.
Right. Right.
So she's a front runner. How is it going to Alabama and going to games there? I've never been obviously to a game at Tuscaloosa. It's got to be amazing, and you got to be a little bit arrogant because you're an Alabama fan.
I mean, at first, not so much, but as the seasons went on, it definitely, I mean, losing doesn't happen very often there, that's for sure.
Really?
As a student in Alabama, did you ever come across Nick Saban? Did you ever, like, see him anywhere, or is he like a ghost?
So, not very often. He's pretty much like a ghost, except for he goes to the Catholic Church on campus, and he goes to the same mass every week. So, if you want to spot him... Church is the place to do it. Football field or church.
How about
church?
That, Chris? He goes to church, well, man, and he's...
We all know that...
I wanted to congratulate my favorite college football coach, Nick Saban.
Yeah. We all know that you love Nick Saban.
Okay, now ask Skylar what she's heard about Nick Saban, though, during her time there.
Do we want to go down that road?
Well, I mean, do the people at Alabama think he's a great guy, or do they think they're a little, is it kind of questionable?
The people at Alabama think he's an amazing guy. I mean, everybody there loves him, worships him.
He can do no wrong.
I mean, he wins third every year in the, or not every year, every election year, he wins third every time.
Because is he not even, he's not even running.
That many people write his name in on the ballot.
For governor?
Wow.
That is crazy.
No, wow. Seriously?
No, for president.
For people president of the United States?
People waste their votes and write him in for president of the United States.
In Alabama.
Every year. Every election.
No wonder he walks around and has that attitude. I mean, I would too,
He's getting presidential votes.
Presidential votes. That's unbelievable.
He's not even trying to get presidential votes either.
So, should we try to? What do you think the odds are we could get Nick Saban
zero
on the,
zero? Absolutely.
Whatever
zero.
The lowest number is,
-100.
Yeah.
Why?
He's
just a college football coach.
I'll ambush him after church one time. Oh. Maybe that'll be the only place.
Okay. Then we'll send Skyler out to do our dirty work for us. All right, so, but you love college football. Did you go to most of the games, all the games?
I went to every single game at home.
Yeah.
And then I went to a few away games. And
which
then,
away games did you go to that you remember that were
Auburn.
Amazing?
I never went to Auburn.
Wait a second,
because...
she's not allowed to say that word.
Oh,
she
yeah.
told me that last week.
Okay.
It's a strong yeah. rivalry.
That is a
right
huge
there.
Rivalry.
Well, I went to Auburn home games, but when it was away, I was actually here in San Diego for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Alabama and Auburn always play over Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and surprisingly, my family values Thanksgiving family time over Alabama-Auburn Iron
Bowl. That is surprising. That is surprising.
I was here, unless it was a home game.
Yeah.
But I guess...
Good for your family making it home during Thanksgiving.
I did go to... My favorite game was the national championship game a few years ago when we played Georgia. I was at that game, and I was actually sitting in like the third row of the stadium.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up. How do you come about? I mean, obviously you're a student there. It's a little bit easier to get tickets, but this is Alabama we're talking about.
So it's actually, we do pay for our tickets, but it's a raffle. So you get an opt-in time. And so usually they're at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And so you set your alarm for 5:55, 5:56, 5:57. And right at six, if you're not opting in, there's a chance that you're not going to get tickets.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how do you get the third row? It just worked out that way, or is it first come, first serve? Or?
In our stadium, first come, first serve.
Okay. Denny Stadium,
right.
Is that the name of it?
Yes, Bryant Denny Stadium. Yes. In Atlanta, to get the seat that I got, they passed out tickets at 11. I got there at 4 o'clock in the morning and camped out in 20-degree weather.
Now, do you know why she's our college football picking expert right there?
That's savage, and I understand why she's our college football
picking expert. She's our college football expert right there. 7 hours she waited to get
a ticket. I wouldn't even do that, and I love sports.
If San Diego State ever made the championship game, I might have to take a
camp
week
out.
Off work. I mean, it's not going
to
ever happen, so I can threaten anything I want to.
I'm going
because they're never going to make it.
I'm going to depend on you for to get me
I'll
those
get you
tickets,
a couple
too,
tickets.
I'm not getting up that
so
early.
You got up at 4 in the morning and you waited till 11 a.m. to get your tickets to go to
and
the
then
game. But
there,
that's
there was
exciting.
Like a big winter storm going through, so we were outside in sleet. So we all went to CVS and we bought a bunch of blankets and pajama pants and we just bundled up and waited until the doors opened.
This is a young lady, by the way, who works in our sales department across the way. She works with a blanket around her during the day.
She's probably still
so
cold from sitting outside that time.
I never thought.
So she's probably still cold. That's right. The sleet is still probably affecting you. That's Skylar over there. She's going to be our weekly college football pick expert and you're going to get, we'll tell you, you can get involved out there to come on each week, and we'll probably pick what we'll kind of make the game up as we
games,
go along. But 4 or 5 games a week, and if Skyler wins, you get nothing out there. But if you win, Scraby will come up with some sort of prize for you.
That's what he's good at.
Scraby,
am I?
Yes,
am
you're
I
good at coming up with prizes?
You come up with these Padre tickets all the time.
But don't worry about it, because Skylar just said she plans on going undefeated this year against our listening audience.
So you
audience.
Should never have to come up with a prize.
Thank you. Please make it easy on me.
I love the confidence,
is
but that's what happens when you go to Alabama.
Is that spoken like an Alabama
yes.
fan? Yeah,
100%.
Don't plan on anybody beating me whatsoever out there. All right. And, okay, tailgating before Alabama games, fun, excite, what, give me just a little flavor.
Fun and hot.
Hot, sticky.
Oh yeah, humidity.
But everyone's out there. I mean, tailgating out there is nothing like you would ever see out here. People have full service catering.
Yeah.
Televisions
out on the middle of the quad. Mm-hmm. They hook up their TVs.
Sure.
We've got couches out there. I mean,
yeah, there's no reason to go into the game.
If you can't afford to get into the game, then no, you can just sit right there.
How about the football players? Did you ever see them in class?
Yeah, they're required to go to class.
They are?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's good to know, Skylar. Thank you.
Against popular, opinions, actually, they are
the
in
Alabama
class.
Football players were
yes.
required to go to class.
Yeah,
I'm
and
glad to know
I
that.
Have actually seen them being escorted to class to make sure that they are in class.
But
they're pretty easy to spot on campus.
I'm sure.
They stand
I'm sure.
out.
That's awesome. Yeah. I honestly never knew anybody who went to Alabama, so I just thought it'd be really cool to have Skylar come in and do it. And she's a San Diego kid, but she's going to be our college football. All you got to do is try and beat her in the picks each week. Skylar, thanks a lot. It's going to be fun. We'll have you in next week, and we'll get started.
Yeah, I'm excited for the season.
Before we go to break, coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called, and if it is, call back at 833-288-0973 to win a pair of tickets to see the Padres host the Dodgers on Monday, August 26th, plus a pair of football tickets to the Rose Bowl. Now, you won't see Alabama there, but you will see Oklahoma take on UCLA Bruins. You'll also be entered into our grand prize drawing for a two-night stay at the Flamingo Hotel on the Vegas Strip and tickets to see Paula Abdul's new show. Make sure you sign up at 973thefan.com/biggestfan to enter. We're driving
a
bus.
That means we got traffic.
All right.
Yes.
We're going to go to break.
All right, Skylar did a good job. Looking forward to doing some college football picks.
First time on the mic, she seemed pretty comfortable.
She did a very nice job. Very good, Skylar, and looking forward to having her on with us weekly to do some college football stuff. But one thing we on this show absolutely have to have every week at this time of year is our Hard Knocks fix.
Indeed.
I mean, we're not alone, though. I mean, to sit here and say we're the biggest Hard Knocks fans, we are, but so's everybody, right?
Yeah.
And so we're excited to talk a little Hard Knocks with the executive producer of the program this year. Ken Rogers joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Ken, how you doing? Thanks so much for the time.
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and I don't know, the Patriots maybe are the white whale for Hard Knocks eventually one day, but the Raiders had to be pretty high on the list, I would think, as far as a team that you guys wanted to get on this show. Is that right?
Yeah, they're not too far away from the Patriots and Packers and Steelers, in terms of national brand. They certainly haven't had the success recently that the Patriots have had, but everyone knows the Raiders.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the uniforms. Everyone knows the music and the John Facenda voiceover that we use in the show. Open. It's just Steve Sable used to always say that the league was better off when the Raiders were good, because everyone had a team to cheer for or a villain to hate. And that's really true. I mean, love them or hate them, you know who the Raiders are. And that's been a great blessing for us, because I think a lot of people, regardless of all the drama that's been happening there, I think people are interested in the franchise either way.
Yeah, you can count me as one of those people. I've been so impressed with the first three episodes of Hard Knocks. Now, as a producer, Ken, when you found out you were getting the Raiders, did you start having all kinds of ideas, because you knew you were getting a guy in Gruden that he could pretty much hold the show by himself if you allowed him to? I mean, was there some excitement about getting to work with a guy like Gruden, who's kind of been groomed for TV, it seemed like?
There is, and I'll tell you why. It's because we have to work much less to make great television. I mean, it's just the truth. You know, there's some years where you really have to search for stories or search for characters that people respond to, and going into the show knowing that the head coach, who's always the main character of the show regardless of their personality, was going to just be himself, and it was going to provide X amount of minutes per week that you knew were going to be great television just because the guy is great television. He could literally read the phone book and you'd be happy to watch it. He just is. There's something about him, and there's guys that are like that. Rex Ryan was like that.
Yeah,
I think Bill O'Brien had some of that. It was a blessing to know that we had it.
Joe Philbin?
Jim Philbin had it. I mean,
no, he did not. I'm just joking.
Kid, I got a quick follow-up to that. I mean,
all coaches are equal in my eyes.
Okay, there you go.
As you guys are filming in week two, the opening scene, I mean, we must have replayed this at least three or four times. I never played football, but I was ready to run through any wall that Gruden asked me to run through. As you guys are filming that, do you guys are looking around like, oh, we got a good one here? Like that's kind of how it felt when I was watching it.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to not feel that, because we as filmmakers feel that way. We watch that scene and we say, why are we filming? We should be hitting somebody.
Right.
You know, why am I editing something? I want to go out in the parking lot and play on the cement right now and, you know, get scuffed up. Absolutely. And the tough thing is really choosing between those moments, because we could easily have an hour of Coach Gruden just being Coach Gruden. But, of course, it's not called the Coach Gruden show. You know, so we really want to pick the one that is representative of the week. And sometimes there's more than one moment, certainly, in shows that represent what he's going through that week. But we felt that moment was so strong, and it really was at the beginning of the week. As you remember, he said, look, one week's done, now it's the second week. It was the tone he set for the rest of our filming that week, not just with the players on the field, but I think our crews felt pumped up, too.
Everybody's That's awesome. Though. Yeah, Ken Rogers is with us, executive producer of Hard Knocks. Of course, this year focusing on the Oakland Raiders, and just another fantastic bunch of episodes. Every Tuesday night it airs live, and then you can watch it all week on HBO. And Ken, let me ask you a little bit about the non-football fan, and over the years with Hard Knocks, has Hard Knocks been able to draw non-football fans to the show? Just because they kind of like the format of going behind the scenes? And do you think this show has been beneficial to the NFL in terms of creating new fans? I say that in a certain way because baseball is kind of struggling right now to find fans, and I don't know why they don't think about doing a show, doesn't have to be called Hard Knocks, but a spring training thing, something behind the scenes. I mean, it just brings everybody in. My wife is not a fanatic football fan, but she will not miss Hard Knocks, and I know a lot of people like that.
To be fair, they have tried it. They've done a couple different versions of MLB type shows on Hard Knocks. The Pen they tried to do, and you know they've done different series that are like Hard Knocks. I think Hard Knocks started so early in the history of reality television. That it just became one of the founding members, the way Survivor or Jersey Shore or Real World, you know, the stalwarts that have been around for two decades. I think it built an audience. And I think a big part of it is being on HBO, because you're right. This audience, the audience for Hard Knocks, is the least, I wouldn't say football savvy, but they're the least hardcore X's and O's football fans of any programming create. And sometimes there's insiders in football that particularly this year about the helmet situation with Antonio Brown, they say, well, where's the details of what type of helmet and all that? Well, the audience for Hard Knocks doesn't really care about that. That's right. The news, that's NFL Network, you know, weekly, daily updates. This is more about the big picture characters, and people love the characters, and they watch a channel like HBO with Game of Thrones and Succession and, you know, these shows that are character-driven, and they just happen to watch Hard Knocks, and over the years they've learned, hey, I like that show. And so many of them say, I don't love football, but I'll follow the team that's on Hard Knocks all year just because I like the doc. Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds like you guys are doing your job then, because that's the whole key, I think, is to draw in fans that, you know, normally wouldn't necessarily be staunch football fans. I got to ask you about AB. You brought him up a little bit. You guys have been around training camp. What's been your take on AB?
Listen, he is not just the most talented player on the field. He's also the most dedicated on the field. But I can also tell you that I guess the best way to put it is that the media has really pushed it over the top. I don't think at training camp anyone cares about the helmet situation anywhere near what the normal football sports writer or news reporter would think. No one's really talking about it because the players have their own jobs to worry about.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can ask anyone there and they'll say, oh, look, that's AB's thing. You know, I don't know. And they're not just giving spin. They're trying to get their plays right. They're trying to keep a job.
Yeah.
I mean, what AB's doing isn't really part of what we're filming. Now, we could go to a courthouse and follow that, but, you know, that's not really Hard Knocks. We want to follow the characters. So my overall impression is that at camp, everyone's kind of a little confused why it became as big a deal as it is.
Mm. I mean, that's the take that it seems like John Gruden seems to be flustered by it, too. Like, I don't know why it's a big deal, because on the outside looking in, it's completely been blown up. I mean, this helmet is like, it's like Watergate almost.
He's going to be playing.
I said that from the beginning.
I have a lot more excitement. I mean, I've liked Antonio Brown, and it's been fun getting to know his personality, and I think that's what you guys do best on Hard Knocks. But, I mean, how difficult to film some of those scenes, you know, the final week of the show when a couple of our favorite characters wind up, you know, and it's going to happen every year, but they're going to get cut. And we see the wife, we see the kids, we see the player. You almost got to feel like shooting the scene and then reaching out and giving those people a hug, I would think.
Oh, I think our crews actually physically do that, yes. They do finish filming the scene, and there's heartfelt feelings between us because we've spent the last 6 weeks living together in a training camp that we really become part of the team. Our crews really become friendly with everyone just because every day they're all together, and there is that camaraderie that's the point of training camp, is camaraderie. That's the point of preseason, getting together, especially in a place where you go away from home, like the Raiders in Napa. We become part of that, and when those moments come, it's very difficult. The long-term view, though, has been that this business is often seen as very callous, and, you know, sports in general, you know, you make money, you get cut, everything is a business. You know what? I realize it's a business. But those moments, you can tell that the coaches hate doing this.
Yeah.
You can tell that the moment they have to tell someone their dream's over for this year is extremely difficult, and they do it with great care. They really don't enjoy it. There's no business-like attitude. It's, gosh, this is the worst part of my job to have to do this. So I think it humanizes it. And luckily enough, I think these players that have been cut on the show have actually come back to us by a large majority and appreciated that moment was captured, in that many of them get more chances, whether it's other teams, other leagues, you know, going to Canada, or now there's several other leagues they can go to, or even marketing deals. You know, I remember Charles James in the Houston Texans being cut, and right afterwards he called and was appreciative because he got a sock deal out of it, you know.
That's right. I remember that. I remember reading that.
He was
that.
Talking about his happy socks, and a sock company signed him up to sell socks. And, you know, he ended up signing on with the Ravens and playing that season anyway, but, you know, if he wasn't on the show, he wouldn't have had that opportunity. So we try to treat it with great respect, and in the end, I think all the players and people involved know that we're not trying to dramatize it more than it is. Yes, it's a difficult situation, but we're not going to, you know, write script or anything that makes it feel like it's done in a callous way, because it really isn't. It's really done, I think, pretty professionally.
Yeah, Ken, you guys do a wonderful job. I got one more question before we let you get out of here. You've had a lot of these training camps. If you had to pick which training camp you've been around that has been the most memorable, what would you say?
Oh, you know what the answer is to that. It's Rex Ryan and the New York Jets.
I figured that had to be in at least the top two.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the show when you talk about the fans, you know, responding to it, that's the year that we crossed over into not just a sports show, but a show that everyone watched, because Rex was larger than life. I remember, you know, the show was on the front page in New York City every day, whether we were on the air the night before or not. I remember during that season, someone calling me and say, hey, you need to come watch this. And the show was an answer on Jeopardy. You know, we were being spoofed by The Daily Show. Like, all these things were happening, and we thought, wow, this is different, you know, for a show that, you know, people liked, and we had won the Emmy the year before with the Bengals, and we thought we were doing a good job. It went to a whole nother stratosphere with Coach Ryan. Mm. And we really have never reached that point. We've stayed there. The ratings have stayed pretty great. You know, the Raiders have had some of the best ratings since the Jets, which is really saying something. The Texans really was a high point for me. And all the teams in between had something that created enough buzz that the show has been around for 18 years now, and I don't think many people are getting tired of it, because we change teams, we change characters, we change the stakes. And as soon as one person retires in the NFL, another great character comes around. You saw in the episode 3, the Raiders played against Kyler Murray in Arizona, and I'm watching that saying, you know what? That kid's going to be great on Hard Knocks one day, and I'm sure he will be.
Yeah. Well, Ken, we love it. I know a lot of our listeners love it, and it's very gracious of you to spend some time with us and talk about this great show. Ken Rogers, the executive producer of Hard Knocks, joining us. One last request for Tony and I. Any way we can get Liev Schreiber to narrate something like Welcome Back to the Gwen and Chris Show? God, would that sound good, right? Is that guy,
yeah.
He's like the most, I mean, Facenda's God, of course, of narration.
Of course.
But Liev Schreiber, who is the narrator of Hard Knocks now, he is outstanding. I know we've talked about him in the past, so I didn't want to talk about him again this time, but I love the work he does on that show,
awesome.
Too. Fabulous.
Listen, done deal. I'm going to put you on the list behind my voicemail message.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. Good luck again with the rest of the show.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching.
You betcha. Ken Rogers right there, executive producer of Hard Knocks. On the SDCCU fan hotline, SDCCU has auto loan rates as low as 3.15% APR, and low rates mean low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com. I want to remind everybody that we are broadcasting live tomorrow. Is it tomorrow already?
It is tomorrow.
It is.
Yes.
Tomorrow we're going to be down at Ravino the Foodery, located Market Street, corner of Market and 9th. So stop by and join us for the show. And I fully expect that Randy Hanna will be there, because he's our biggest fan today. Randy, you have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. Win a pair of tickets to see the Padres host the Dodgers August 26th and UCLA football against Oklahoma. Great matchup Saturday, September the 14th. Also going to be entered for a grand prize road trip to Las Vegas. That's Randy Hanna, H-A-N-N-A. Randy, you have 10 minutes to call us right now to win all this stuff. 833-288-0973. All right. I love that interview. That was fun. And we took it way past our time. Sorry, Scraby. Scraby's
so
going to get fired because
so
we missed the break
right
by so long.
I mean, we talked about this on Monday.
I know we did. While Tony was ordering his macaw. All right, we better take a break. Sorry about that, but it was worth it to have Ken Rogers on there from Hard Knocks. Gwen and Chris.
4:42. As you know, we're a little bit behind, so no need to stall. Let's get right into the Big Five.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
If you have any Big Five topics, find me on Twitter, @MattScraby. And real quick, because it's in our lineup,
Join us tomorrow for our live broadcast from the grand opening of Ravino the Foodery, located on Market Street on the corner of 9th Avenue in the East Village this Friday. Tomorrow, August 23rd from 3 to 6 p.m. Stop by and say hello to us before the game and sign up to be the biggest fan to win prizes from 97.3 The Fan. And let me tell you, they came in and got our orders today for some Ravino food, and they are going to spoil us. I'm going to be way full by the end of the broadcast. So let's get into it.
Number five.
I was hoping for you guys to like say something over there, but no one said
anything.
We don't
have time.
Okay, for a team that isn't supposed to do much this year, the Miami Dolphins have certainly been in the news this training camp. Yesterday, we talked about Kenny Stills speaking out about Jay-Z, and now we have head coach Brian Flores saying former first-round pick Josh Rosen is not ready to start at the NFL level. Those comments may have irked Rosen a bit because when he was asked about it, he said, quote, "I don't need any additional drive or hunger. I got plenty of chips on my shoulder. I'm trying to be the best player that I can be. A lot of this guy played right away. This guy sat. This guy won a Super Bowl. This guy didn't. It's all just sort of extra information that I don't really need in my life right now," end quote. So, Chris, is it in Josh Rosen's best interest to sit the year out to learn?
Sit the year out?
Well, not like, you know, be a backup.
I think it's in head coach Brian Flores' best interest to start saying positive things about his players.
He
this is
very
really
negative.
Starting to bug me about this guy. I mean, he rips his wide receiver. Now he's ripping his own quarterback. In the media is not the place to do that, I don't think, Tony. Don't athletes respond normally a little better if you bring him in and say, hey, you got to improve your play?
Do we know who he learned from?
Oh, Bill Belichick.
I can't recall Bill Belichick having anything nice to say about any of his players. And those were people on his team.
Yeah.
Including the GOAT. I don't know if I've ever really heard him say too many, like, just, like, positive things about Tom Brady.
Glowing
reports.
Which is
crazy.
Which is nuts. He should be singing his praise every day. I think this is just a style in which, I mean, when you look at all of the tree of
Belichick. And every single one of them has failed
they
miserably.
I'm not saying they've done well, but I'm saying they all kind of have this like chip on their shoulder type attitude.
I hate my players.
Like I'm going to be really hard on them, and that's going to show them I love them type thing.
Yeah.
But in Josh Rosen's case, I would like for him to stop talking and just go play football. Like you don't need to comment on what your coach is saying. He's played football a long time. I'm sure this isn't the first time he's had a coach say some things on the negative side of his game. I think it's just in his best interest to go out, play, know the playbook the way he's supposed to. And I'm pretty sure if he does that, he'll be the quarterback for that team when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and it shouldn't take too long. I mean, as much as Ryan Fitzpatrick's
there's no
good
more
for
Fitzmagic.
He's good for a game or two or three, and then there'll be room if Rosen's ready. I think Tony's right. This is just a way of trying to pump his guy up, but I don't
necessarily mean it's going to work, but
yeah,
I'm not
weird.
A fan of
it.
It's coming off weird.
Yeah.
Number four.
Jim Harbaugh, Michigan head coach, has some harsh things to say about the SEC in a new soon-to-be-released book entitled Overtime, Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines at the Crossroads of College Football. Wow, that's a title. By New York Times bestselling author John Bacon.
Is there any room left for the book?
I don't think so. I don't think so. The foreword, maybe.
Can't be a picture on the front at all. That's too many words.
Yeah, it's way too many words. And in this book, in one quote about the unfair advantages in recruiting his program faces, Jim Harbaugh said, quote, "It's hard to beat the cheaters." 15 teams in college football spent over $1 million in recruiting in 2018, with Georgia taking the top spot at $2.5 million. But people were quick to point out that Jim Harbaugh's Wolverines were sixth on the list, spending $1.39 million in recruiting. So, Tony, what's your first thought when you hear this?
My first thought is this just is a salty coach that didn't get to the top of the list and didn't get the recruits that he wanted. That's my first thought. Then my second thought is, oh, he's selling a book.
Yeah.
He's selling a book. Would I buy the book? Would it be more likely for me to buy the book if I said, yeah, you know, we all spend a whole bunch of money to recruit and hopefully it comes out.
There's a book behind us. The actual book. And they did fit the title on there.
They did. They had a picture on there, too.
That was pretty amazing.
It's pretty cool,
and
Adam.
That would be my second thought is I think this is probably one of those quotes that is a is a presser quote. Like, they're going to use this quote right here when the new book comes out, so people are quick to go rush and buy it.
Well, you don't have to buy the book. It's right here.
Well, that's because Adam brought it
and
in
here.
And
this is a thick book. It's 422 pages long. How much?
So you know he's spilling tea all in that book.
No, he's not. The 421 pages are probably boring as all get out. And one page, it says,
touché.
Hey, it's hard to beat the cheaters in the SEC. Look, he can say whatever he wants. Nobody's ever going to feel sorry for what
Michigan.
Jim Harbaugh has at his disposal to recruit at the University of Michigan. He can't possibly convince anybody that Michigan is, you know, somehow the poor little sisters here.
That's what this book is pretty much saying, I think.
No, can't say that, I think.
I'll read it and let you know.
Okay,
number three.
You're right. Le'Veon Bell of the Jets is getting ready for his first full season since sitting out all of last season when he was with the Steelers, and he's not going to get much contact in either game or practice, and some people say he needs some contact, but head coach Adam Gase does not want him to take any contact and doesn't want to risk his star player getting hurt. Here is Le'Veon Bell talking about the situation.
Obviously, it's still a practice. I know once I get into the game, it's going to be a little different, but I'll adjust to, I've been playing football my whole life, just like I had to get adjusted to practice and all the other things, it's going to come. So I don't think me getting four plays in the preseason is going to really help me for the week one of the game. You know what I'm saying? It's going to just be me just getting ready, prepared in practice. When the game come, regular season game come, I'll be ready.
All right, Chris and Tony, I'm going to ask you guys to give me a number. How many games do the Jets play before we see a 100% Le'Veon Bell? When we see him being the MVP type guy he was?
16.
You think he's going to take 16 games for it? You think it's going to take a full season for him to get back into it?
I don't think we're going to see the Le'Veon Bell you saw in Pittsburgh all season. Just because he's not on anywhere near as good of a team.
Interesting.
You might see a couple of runs that are, Le'Veon Bell worthy. But yeah, I don't think he'll be anywhere near Le'Veon Bell. That's my prediction.
Tony? I got the Jets shocking some folks this year.
Do you?
I do. I think it's going to take about four games to see him at
full month, what
we're used to seeing. I think that not having that contact for over a year, I think that's a big deal. Like, I don't think we take into account, getting popped, often.
Over and over.
Right. Like, there's a certain feel your body gets for it. And more importantly, keeping that pigskin is very important in this game.
Actually, reading further into the article, that he was saying that he does want his teammates to try to punch the ball out so he doesn't fumble. He's not. He doesn't have a problem with
he
fumbling.
He doesn't, but the year that he missed a few games, I think it was because of the suspension.
Oh, yeah.
He fumbled the first few games back. So I can understand why he would want his teammates.
I don't think...
You guys remember the movie Program? The Program?
Oh, yeah.
Where the football gets loose.
Was it Omar Epps? Yeah, that's a great movie. A
couple other actors in there, but...
And they'll die for the ball. And he gets it back.
I think it's hilarious on fumbling, though. If a guy fumbles two times in one game, he then has a fumbling problem for the rest of his career.
That's a good point.
According to people who follow football, so...
All right.
Number two.
Cowboys linebacker Jalen Smith has been one of the best stories of the last few seasons. The Cowboys drafted him.
So good that I've never heard of him.
Really?
Really?
No. Who is he?
That's insane to me. But Cowboys have drafted him, took a chance on him after he tore up his knee in the 2016 Fiesta Bowl, which left many teams wondering if he would ever be able to play up to his potential. Well, he has and was rewarded for his play when the Cowboys signed him to a five-year contract extension worth $64 million that includes $35.5 million in guaranteed money.
What number is he?
54.
I don't know numbers, but...
Well, if he's that great.
But this contract is one that not only places him in the upper echelon of top-paid linebackers, but it's also favorable to the Cowboys' salary cap. But with Zeke, Dak, and Amari Cooper reaching extensions, Cowboy fans and writers want to know what the plan is. Tony, what kind of message does this send to the other Cowboys?
Doesn't necessarily send any message. The key to that whole thing you read was...
Salary cap friendly.
It was salary cap friendly, which is the reason why they jumped on this. Now, the Jalen Smith story, if you guys don't remember, he was going to be a top three pick in the draft in 2016. Tears his knee up, which is... This is what started the trend of players bowing out of that
bowl games.
Mm-hmm. Because he got hurt...
In the bowl game.
In the bowl game. Seriously hurt. He didn't even play the first season he was a rookie for the Cowboys. Comes back, has a great year last year. Dallas rewards him because, most importantly, it was salary cap friendly. So they could afford to pay him some money. I think it's a great story. I don't know that it says necessarily anything. I mean, there's also been reports that Ezekiel Elliott has been offered the second highest contract by a running back, below Todd Gurley. So clearly it didn't have an impact on that if that report is true. I think that's a separate situation. I think that's why the Cowboys did it, because they knew it was salary cap friendly.
Chris, what do you think?
I think Jalen Smith better play just as well this year as he did last year. Otherwise, next year, he won't be any big deal. Because in the NFL, they only care about how you are right now.
It's true.
So this is a nice deal. What's he got? Signing bonus.
34 guaranteed, huh?
Yep, 34 and a half.
Actually, he doesn't have to worry about playing much of the season at all. If I was Jalen Smith, I'd find a way to tear up my other knee then in the first game.
Okay. Number one. Little League World Series is something San Diego seems to be a part of every year, but what is usually not usually talked about is how much pressure are on these kids. So Thomas sent me this clip earlier. I wanted to play it. It's Elizabeth, New Jersey's manager, Jairo Labrador, giving a speech after his team lost 4-1, and many people are saying it's exactly what sports is all about.
Elizabeth is so proud of you guys. Your moms and dads, right? And guys, JR, dude, you were so awesome today, bud. So awesome. I love the way we didn't give up, man. I love the way we didn't give up. We fought. You kept it. That's what we are. We're fighters. Every single one of you is going to be successful, all right? For the rest of my life, I'm proud that you guys are going to call me coach, all right? There's dad and there's coach. I love you guys. Look at that, boys.
All right, that was Jairo Labrador of the Little League team in New Jersey. Chris, some people have said this is soft. Some people have said this is great. What do you think of the speech?
Soft?
Yeah, I've seen that. By writers.
Like one of your friends
writers,
on Twitter?
Like this is, yeah. No, I started looking into it after Thomas sent it to me.
I think anybody who doesn't understand that speech is coming from the right place where a speech to a bunch of 12-year-olds should be coming from. Is hit their head against a wall too many times.
Tony? You deal with the youth in baseball?
Is it soft? No, not for 12-year-olds. It's not soft at all. I think, listen, part of a coach's job is understanding the personalities on his team. And this coach, you know, felt like that was the way to go. And it was heartfelt. It wasn't like he just made that up. Like, I mean, he did know. Actually, he did make it up. It wasn't like he had it scripted.
He didn't write it.
Yeah, he didn't have it scripted. So I don't think it's soft at all. I think we need more coaches that tap into the passion part of it from a loving perspective.
There's a ton of pressure on these kids.
Is there? What's the pressure?
The pressure is you're playing on TV, and if you stink, you're always going to be remembered for stinking.
No, you're not. Here's why. You know how many Little League World Series we've watched through our time? Do you remember any of the kids that did bad?
Danny Almonte?
He didn't do bad. He just cheated. There's a difference. That's why you remember.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I'm just going to tell you that J.D. Davis of the New York Mets just made a catch that almost rivals some of the best catches you've ever seen an outfielder make.
Eh. The world champion Red Sox are coming to town this weekend. Why are the Red Sox going to be a little tired? We'll talk about it when we come back. Gwen and Chris, 97.3. Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.